It's Monday, November 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 721, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by Citrix. GoToMeeting now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. Everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. It's great to be back in Honolulu. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And yes, APEC is over. The majority of the world leaders have departed the pattern. I think the president leaves in the morning. Traffic has been an absolute nightmare for many people here in Hawaii. I stayed home after I got back Friday night, did not leave the hacienda here for over the entire weekend. Had plenty to catch up and do. My body is still feels like it's in the East Coast. So, you know, getting started a little late here tonight, just things, you know, trying to get everything back in order and get the studio running and everything else. But of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of our longtime subscribers, listeners, and viewers around the world. All of you that are part of our Ohana, part of our family here at Geek News Central, welcome to the show. And of course, you know, if you're just checking us out for the very first time, hey, thanks for checking us out. We've got lots of tech to cover. We're going to go over a few administrative things here and talk story for just a second, but then we're going to go ahead and get into the full lineup of tech content that I have for you tonight. We want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. And that's really how you stay connected with the show, by subscribing. And to do that is very, very simple. All you got to do, again, is visit the website. You'll find a link on the website for iTunes, Zune Marketplace, for or a standard RSS feed, so that you can get access to the show and be, you know, essentially dialed in all the time. And it makes it real simple. And I bring the website up here, something that I didn't have queued, obviously. And you'll see in the second column of the website, you'll see a subscribe sidebar there that's got all the information there, how to get subscribed. And of course, you can get subscribed to our newsletter as well. There's a link up in the top column on how to get subscribed to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show. And we send that out immediately following the show tonight, so that you'll know that there's a new episode up. And I'll have all the links that you'll find in the show notes directly in that email. And it's a great way to stay abreast. Of course, you can watch the show at live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can watch it on your Roku, on your Boxy, on your Samsung Smart TV, either live or post-show. We're on the Tech Podcast channel on all those devices, and on the Blueberry channel as well. But just, you know, look us up at TPN or techpodcast.com. And that's a great way to stay abreast. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News, or you can call, or actually, let me see, where am I at here? This did not go where it was supposed to go. Okay, there we go. You can follow me at Twitter at Geek News, or geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Well, got a lot of stuff in the stack for you today here, and it is wonderful to be home. It's wonderful to be back in Honolulu. Flew back Friday night and Friday afternoon, and had an uneventful flight getting back. So no delayed airplanes or anything like that, which was fantastic. And got back in here and just barreled on into a long list of honey-do list, and plus, I worked on my list, and this is what's left. You see this page. That's what's left of my to-do list. Yes, I still use paper for my to-do list. And somehow it just keeps me more organized. That's kept me busy all weekend. But I got a lot to cover tonight, a lot to talk to you about. But one thing I want to do initially here is I want to take a moment and I want to talk about our sponsors. And I want to, of course, want to thank Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And they've been a great sponsor for a number of years. But, you know, they have a product that I really cannot live without. And in today's fast-paced working environment, getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can just be literally impossible. My team members are in New York, in Ohio, and in Michigan, in Denver, and in California. So my team members are spread out. So for us, having online meetings is an essential part of way of doing business. So it's just natural that we extend that into working with clients. And being here in Honolulu, I always don't want to get on an airplane and really go somewhere immediately to do a meeting. And it's just simple to start a meeting. And now with GoToMeeting with HD Faces, you can collaborate online by sharing your presentation while seeing colleagues face-to-face in high definition. And that's really cool because it's important because you can really see what they're, you know, basically you can see what they're seeing. And you see their expressions and how they're reacting. And it allows you to change pace on a presentation as you need to. And all you really need is an internet connection, a webcam. It's really that easy. I love GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And again, I can share any document on my computer screen with everyone in my online meeting while seeing their immediate reaction. Again, with GoToMeeting with HD Faces, my meetings are more personal, engaging, and really, truly effective. So as a listener of this show or a viewer of this show, I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces today. As a listener, you can try it for free for 30 days. And really, all you got to do, it's easy. You visit GoToMeeting.com. You click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, that's the promo code PODCAST and get that free 30-day trial. Check it out. I know you're going to love it as much as I did, or I do. And I'll be honest with you, this past Saturday, we had one of our planning meetings for a CES, and we'll be talking about that here in a few minutes. So as the people were funneling in, people were popping up on my screen, and we were just doing this chat beforehand before we actually got into the agenda. And it was just cool. And, sizing one another up because there's some new team members this year for CES and getting a feel for how they operate. It worked good. So anyway, hey, be sure to get that free trial. And thanks for Citrix for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about really what's in the stack here. What I want to get into tonight. Again, you know, I kind of talked about our CES 2012 meeting, and really what we're doing right now is we have about a handful of companies that are weighing whether or not they want to be a sponsor or not for the show. So it's, you know, it's like one of these things, you're getting down to the end and you're almost getting into this kind of like a panic mode because there's, you know, we got a lot of money invested in doing the show every year and bringing as many people as we are out to Vegas, doing the live broadcast booth this year, having the floor teams. You guys all know that we bring you an insanely amount of content over those really kind of 4 to 5 weeks from the show to the after the show's over. All kinds of new stuff. We really dig in and get you the insights. And this year we're bringing out a number of folks that are helping us, that are the director of operations, the person that's doing all the business management. So those folks, we all have to, you know, it's a continued thing where we have to pay them and take care of them. And what I'd like to do this year is see if this audience and the audience of our partners that are going to be at the show as well will help support us in some of the CES content. So what I'm going to be doing tonight is over the next 6 weeks, between now and the end of the year, I'm going to be doing a fund drive to raise money to help offset costs for CES 2012. And this money is specifically going to go to helping pay for the folks that are really the unsung heroes of the show. It's the Caras, it's the Jeffs, it's the Jacks, it's the guys that you guys really don't see behind the scenes, and help offset some of their cost as well. because many of those folks are coming out are volunteers, and really they give up their time. So what I'd like to do, and this is where this money will go, is and help paying and taking care of the folks that are really kind of our support people behind the scenes, is that we're going to do really three levels. We're going to ask for a $25, $50, or $100 donation. I'm going to set that up in the show notes tonight. You'll see that there. And if you feel so inclined to do a one-time donation for this, I would be greatly appreciated. The goal here is really to raise about $5,000. That's my goal, is to raise about $5,000 on this over the next six weeks and through this special fund drive. And I know it's kind of comes at a bad time, because here we were getting ready to go into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and no one ever has enough money for this type of an event. But you guys know that we've been doing this now, I think this is our sixth year, maybe seventh year at CES. And we've literally brought you a couple of thousand interviews in specials on new gear and gadgets. And in this show will be no different. We'll probably have about 250 videos. And really, the amount of time that we put in putting this together is huge. And we hope that you guys will support. So I kind of talked about early in the year how we would do some sort of a fundraiser for maybe the new studio or something like that. But I think what we're going to do is do some of these small ones like this, for very distinct causes, and hope that you guys will support the show that way. Really, the sponsors of the show here keeps my lights on, keeps my family fed, allows me to do a lot of the stuff that we do. But we really need to try to really focus on helping the team that are coming, those support people that are coming. And if you would help us, I'd greatly appreciate it. And I have a link up in the show notes for you tonight. There'll be three distinct donation tags, and pick the one that you feel fits your budget. And if you can support us, that will, and if you feel like donating more, we will definitely take that too. But, you know, whatever you can do, it's great. And we're going to recognize all of you that do donate. So we'll be asking you for some additional information as well. So we'll recognize you as well. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what's going on here as well. Podcast Awards Ceremony this Saturday, November 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 4 o'clock Pacific. And we're going to be going ahead and having the winners from the Podcast Awards on and talk about their shows and talk to their audiences. So I hope that you'll join me for that. Also, this past weekend, hey, the Chrome Show is back. And that's pretty exciting for me to be able to bring the Chrome Show back to you and get it up. We got the power supply in from China. The $28 purchase on eBay, that finally I got the right one. So we got a power supply. The Chromebook is back up and working. First thing, I got a charger. My son was like, grabbed it and went run off with it. My seven-year-old loves playing with it more than I do. So, but I got a good Chrome Show out, so I hope that you'll check that out. And of course, we had the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Had a little audio problem with Rob, one of our guests that was on. That kind of resolved itself halfway through after I rattled one of my 1,000 wires here. And then, of course, the Gadget Professor has been putting out shows along with Robot Underpants. So 6 or 7 hours of content here every week for you. And we want to thank all of you for supporting all the shows. Okay, so let's take care of the last sponsor message, and then we'll go ahead and get right into the full tech show. I've already talked long enough here. But GoDaddy's got a special deal for you, folks. They've made a special that we know that you guys are going to love. This is how you're going to be able to afford make a donation and at the same time pick up a new hosting account for $1.99. This is a deal. This is the deal of the month. And another deal has expired. But what we're going to do is we're going to get you a $1.99 hosting special. You're going to get the 4GH web hosting. We're going to get you 3 months of this, 3 months at $1.99 by using my Geek11 code. I've got an article up on Geek News Central, just posted this before the show. And actually, if I take you over here and show you where it's going to list the information, you're going to be able to get the economy package for $1.99 a month, which is normally $4.99 a month. And this thing's got a bunch of free stuff. You're going to get $100 worth of Google ad credits, $50 worth of Bing/Yahoo ad credits, and $50 in Facebook ad credits. So all total, $200 in ad credits. And I'm going to get you for the first 3 months for $6, $1.99 a month. This cannot be beat. And if you got a domain name that you've been holding on to think about start doing something, cannot beat this. Now, after the 3 months are over, you're going to have to pay the regular price. But if you use one of my other promo codes, like Todd20, they'll save you some more money on that next 9 months of usage, okay? So keep that in mind. But anyway, that promo code's got a link in it. It'll be up in the show notes. And of course, if you're looking for other types of products at GoDaddy.com, go to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll have find all my codes at GeekNewsCentral.com. All right, let me go ahead here, and let me look in my stack here real quick. Boom, 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 boom. That's done. And let's go ahead and get into the content. That's what you're here for. And those of you that are new, we do this about every show for about the first 10 to 13 minutes, but we're at 15 minutes tonight, so I apologize for going long. But we have to get that out of the way. And that's the way we've been for 721 episodes here at Geek News Central. Let me go and close that. Already talked about the Chrome show being back online, but let's talk about Logitech Google TV. Woo-hoo! Man, did the Logitech boss drop a bombshell on the entire tech community. He basically told Google to go pack sand. They were not going to be investing any more money after losing $100 million on Google TV, on their platform. And maybe explains why the Logitech device has not been updated yet. And it's got me a little bit worried here. They say they're going to update it, but they have not done so yet. So when is this going to happen? Are they going to update it, or does this mean I'm going to be stuck with a device, the review, that's not updated? We actually were so concerned at Raw Voice that Angela went out and picked up a Sony Google TV so that we could test our app on it. And we found some issues, so he's actually, Cameron's going through and cleaning up and finalizing the code so we can get that out for you. But it's just one of those things that if you don't have the device to be able to play with the app, you don't know if you're good. And we found some, they're going through and fixing those. And we'll hope to have the Google TV channel out later this week, which I'm excited about, you know, but they haven't updated the Logitech device yet. But I think all of us here kind of realize, and many of you have a Boxy or you have a Roku or a Samsung Smart TV or even a Google TV review. We've given away a couple of those on the show. You guys are using these devices. Those in this audience are pretty Akamai, pretty much understanding and that's a Hawaiian word, pretty up to speed on, you know, what's going on in the OTT space. And I'm just hoping that Google is able to pull their collective heads out of their Okolis and figure this out and move forward. LG is saying that they're going to be announcing a Google TV at CES, their first integrated set-top or television with this in it, which is kind of exciting. But it makes me wonder, okay, what's LG doing? Because LG had their own platform that they were building, and they have their own app system. Now, they've never released publicly the API on that because we wanted to get into the LG platform but have not really had an inroad into it. So maybe LG's hung their hat on Google TV, figuring out it would be easier just to go with the Android ecosystem and move forward. So I bought a number of these Logitech reviews to give away over, you know, the Christmas holidays and so forth. And we're probably going to do a giveaway on as a new Amazon device. So I didn't have that quite prepared for tonight's show. So probably we'll do that on the next. Mine is getting here on Wednesday. And I'll be talking about the new Amazon tablet a little later in the show. But I guess the question is, are you guys worried? Those of you that have a review, are you worried that we're not going to get an update here? And so time will tell on that. Hey, just so you guys know, I have... Right now, I got it bad, aka bad back pain. And this is the first time I've really had back pain in a long, long time. So if you see me fidgeting here, it's because I just can barely sit down for a long period. So I'm going to my shiatsu guy on Wednesday. He's going to put the fix on me. He'd probably put the hurt on me, first of all, and would get me fixed up. But I was on the floor, and my son was wrenching on me on Sunday, and my wife worked on me as well. And it's just like, gosh, it's just this kink I can't get out. And I don't know, I was sitting on the airplane wrong coming home, who knows? But it's been driving me nuts, and I've been taking ibuprofen, and it just hasn't helped. So, you know, it is what we all get that once in a while, right? So if you see me wiggling, it's because of that, so I apologize. So anyway, enough on Google TV, but, a little bit before it's time, I think, and maybe this is why Apple TV has been a little bit, you know, slow on the uptake as well. Well, you know, I finished Steve Jobs' book while I was on travel, and I just wonder, parents, you know, maybe cover your kids' ears here a little bit, but you know, there was such when I was reading that book, I just really had no idea he was quite, I guess for the better word, quite the hippie. I don't know if I want to use that word that way. I hope that's not insulting. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, he was, he talked about using LSD and, you know, being on the vegan diet and all the different things that he did. And, you know, some of his beliefs probably ended up, you know, sadly ended up killing him because he waited when he was diagnosed with cancer to being operated on, where if they'd have done it early, you know, he potentially would still be with us. And, but in this biography, I mean, he does everything but call Bill Gates an idiot. And, you know, you say what you must about these two gentlemen, but Bill Gates, in his own right, did an amazing thing. You know, he really did. And, you know, now he's giving his money away. And so what's been going on here over the past couple of days, apparently, is that Bill Gates is kind of quietly striking back. And he's been inviting reporters and different individuals up to his mansion. I guess that's what he lives in. I would think so if he had that much money. And he's been inviting them for dinner or cocktails. And this is probably, you know, if I got an invitation by Bill Gates to come up and visit him, I would probably do so. You're probably not going to get served a happy meal. You're probably going to go and get a pretty nice dinner. And you know, this is type of conversation that is quite literally you know, worth an airplane ticket and some time. But he has been, according to the underground here, making some discussions with the reporters and kind of going back and, you know, readdressing what he did in the space and kind of addressing some of the stuff that was in this book. Now, I've got a hard copy of it back here basically it's not on my shelf yet. But my son came in and he says, "Can I read this book?" And I said, "You can't read the hardcover. We're going to put that up and away, but, you know, I'll let you read the digital copy that I have." And so my son's reading the book. Now, here's the question. Is Steve Jobs going to influence our, you know, here I'm going to let my 13-year-old read this book, which is, you know, I want him to, but it talks about this drug use and how it was enlightening to him. So we're going to have a whole new generation of entrepreneurs trying LSD because they think it's the road to enlightenment. I don't know. And, so, you know, there's that book's got some wild stuff. And, if it is even 75% true, wow, what a ride. That's all I can say. And I understand why Bill Gates is pissed. You know, who really can hate Bill Gates at this point? You know, look what he's done. Look what these guys have done. Build multi-billion dollar companies and change the way we work. They all have. And I don't care if you're a Mac fan or if you're a Windows fan. It's you look what these guys have done. They've done huge stuff and overcome all kinds of adversity. And yes, they've stole each other's ideas and done, you know, punch them out, drag them out, you know, backroom deals and killed companies and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, business is about, you know, making money. And there's a certain amount of, you know, warfare that goes on and litigation, everything else. It's just, you know, part of business. But, you know, I don't think it's going to help that, you know, Bill Gates is fielding the fire saying he helped invent the Mac. And I'm like, whoo, boy, he's going to get the Apple fanboys fired up. But, you know, what do you guys think? You know, what do you, you know, on this whole thing about, if you've read the book, how do you feel about Steve Jobs just blam blasting Bill Gates and along with a lot of other people? And then what do you think about, you know, his, you know, from what I've been talking about and Bill Gates, you know, where do you guys kind of fall in on this? I'd love to hear your consensus on this. And you can call the hotmail line at the hotline at 619-342-7365 or email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. And how to take that sponsor message down, yeah? Okay, so let's go ahead and move into talking about the Kindle Fire first impressions. It's due for release tomorrow. People are already getting them in their hands. Mine is due to arrive on Wednesday, but not a lot to it. Comes in a nondescript cardboard box. It's got a place for a USB connection and a power cord. It doesn't have too much in it. And as a matter of fact, let me put this link up here to show you this Ars Technica article. And you guys can actually see what this thing looks like. And a little bit of screen glare on that image. But, you know, pretty nice on the form factor. Pretty plain Jane on the back. Again, it's, you know, not a beautiful design. Definitely thicker than the iPad. And it gives you, there's a great comparison of the iPad to the Kindle Fire on the difference in size. And it gives you a little more detailed breakdown between the old Kindle and the new one. And, but you know, everyone is basically saying here that this thing, the reviews so far are kind of mixed, but you know what? For $199, who cares if it's a little bit slow? If it's not as perky as the iPad, it's $199. And that's a significant savings. You know, you can almost buy three of these for one 32 gig one, you know, and they're that inexpensive. So, so I'm sure this thing's going to be optimized with time, but, love to hear what you guys, if you're getting these in your hands, love to hear what you think. I can't wait to play around with their marketplace. I've never had an Android device whatsoever. So for me, this is going to be a whole new experience and I'm going to be loading this thing up with stuff out of the Amazon marketplace, excuse me. And of course we've got our Blueberry app over there. So I'll be playing with that as well and see how videos play. But I just like the idea of us having a nice competitive device. And of course, we talked about the Nook on the last show, so I'm not scheduled to get a Nook, but I'm sure many of you are. So we'll kind of share, you know, share thoughts here as this thing starts getting into people's hands, and we'll start to see more reviews. But I'm kind of trying to keep an open mind and not go into this like expecting it to be an iPad replacement. I want to, you know, judge it on its own, and I'm sure the rest of you do too as well. All right, let me go ahead here and talk as well about Apple today, or within the last day or so, has launched the iTunes Match. And, you know, here's the thing that blew me away. They released iTunes 10.5.1 kind of quietly. This enabled the iTunes Match service. And, of course, this service allows your music library to iCloud for easy remoting of the music. But don't get too excited. Because if you have more than 25,000 tracks, and my music collection is like 57,000 tracks, it means those extensive collections just won't take advantage of the service because they limit you to matching 25,000 songs. So that sucks. Now, any song purchased directly from the iTunes doesn't count towards this limit. But again, if you have more than 25,000 tracks not purchased from iTunes in your library, the service simply refuses to let you sign up. and Apple has not allowed any allowances for users with massive libraries to continue a subset of their music to upload. So in other words, you can't. So if you've got more in your library than 25,000 tracks, it doesn't even let you use the service. You can't even pay the $25 a year to have the fee. So what is Apple now saying that our forte in music, we should only have 25,000 songs? I get about 8,000 songs from every year from the South by Southwest free tracks that are released. Let alone, you know, having to worry about going through and sorting and deleting stuff. So we'll, you know, this will be a limitation of it. And if you've got more than 25K, you'll have to parse your library down in order to use it. So big negative on iTunes Match from its launch. If you got smaller libraries, not a big deal. Moving topics here. This is kind of a cool article. You know, I travel, been lucky to travel all over the world. I've seen all kinds of counterfeit goods, knockoffs, Louis Vuitton bags, Rolex watches, you name it. If it could be knocked off, they knock it off. And you can hold a real Rolex in one hand and a fake one in the other, and you really cannot tell the difference. You can shake them. They sound the same. They weigh about the same. Some of the knockoffs have gotten really, really, really good. You know, sunglasses, Prada sunglasses, all the very high-end stuff has all been knocked off. And so, you know, anytime that you're outside of the United States, and probably even sometimes in the United States, depending on where you're shopping, you don't know if you're buying the real deal. Now, if you're going to buy some of this higher end shopping bags, higher end watches, sunglasses, the stuff that's been real popular to knock off, if you're going to buy that and spend hard, cold cash, because, you know, you go to buy a Rolex, what's that, $5,000? You buy a Gucci bag or a Louis Vuitton, you're out $1,000. So, and believe me, I don't shop in those circles. I can't afford to shop in those circles. But my wife wishes she could shop in those circles. No, just kidding. My wife is very thrifty. She's more thrifty than I am. But if you're going to spend that kind of money, you're going to want to make sure you get the real deal. So what they're going to do is, if you have an NFC-enabled smartphone, a French company called Inside Secure has released the Vault 150 security module. It's a NFC-based chip that can be embedded into any product a retailer may wish to have authenticated by a prospective buyer. Now, this could be as easily as literally embedding the chip, because you don't have to have a power source. It could be put somewhere in the bag. And all you got to do is with the NFC reader and basically reading the tag, they'll send you back to the Prada or the Gucci or the Rolex or Louis Vuitton site and say, yeah, this is a valid product. Now, until they start hacking the chips. But this is really good. And they feel that even like on watches, that they're going to be able to embed this. And this is kind of cool. And it's basically going to make these high-end products, for those of you that are buying those high-end products, you're going to feel more assured by being able to get a validation on it. Now, here's the way to avoid it. Avoid getting a fake. Go to a retail outlet that is authorized, that is available on a list that you can get from the retailer. If you're going to be buying outside of the United States, you're going to definitely need to check very closely to make sure the dealer has a good reputation. Call the company's customer service line and find out how validated. There's lots of ways you can validate if a retailer is authorized seller. Otherwise, if you can't validate it, you're getting knockoffs and you won't know it. You will not know it. You'll come home thinking you just bought yourself a $1,000 Louis Vuitton bag, and you're going to go through customs, and they're going to confiscate it because it's not the real deal. And I think customs even having a hard time guessing what is real and what isn't real these days. Hey, I want to draw your attention to an article that was written over at Geek News Central by Tom Wiles, And I don't want to talk politics at all on the show, but Tom has been doing like I have been doing. We've been watching specifically kind of trying to get a feel for what is going on with GBTV. And GBTV is the Glenn Beck television network. It's the one that he has put together, put his own money behind. And Tucker, Tom, and I are kind of the same opinion that the quality and the production quality of that is pretty high. It's just like would be if he was back at Fox doing what he was doing there. And he's selling a subscription to a show, basically $4.95 a month or $49.95 a year. And there's also a GBTV Plus for $99.95, which includes like six different programs and a bunch of stuff. But I've just kind of been watching to see how his model goes and not so much paying attention to the content, but just kind of seeing how he builds the network. And I think Tom and I are of the same happenstance in that they're probably doing a pretty good job at this point. And obviously, he comes from big media. He's got a big media mentality. He's definitely doing spent a lot of money on his studio. You look at what Leo Laporte did with Twit. I think he spent $1.3 million on his studio, and it's obviously very beautiful, and the production quality is very high. And of course, Leo's got a big staff, but I guess over there at GBTV, they've got like 120 employees as well. So the question is, if you start to see more of your commentators, favorite commentators, whatever network they come from or whoever they may be, start to go into this same type of model, would you pay for $5 a month to get access to them? And I think from my perspective here, especially having cut the cord, is that the more mainstream stuff that I like to follow goes to this kind of a pay model, I'd be willing to pay for it on a one-off basis. And I could probably, within a very small amount of money, probably $40 or under a month, get access to all the content that I really want to consume on a monthly basis. And whether it be mainstream television content, whether it be a TLC channel, whatever it may be, Discovery. I think that, for me, I understand this model is going to work. Now, for the companies that are used to getting a lot more money per month on a subscriber basis from our cable providers, maybe it won't work, but we'll have to see how this goes. But have any of you been watching what they've been doing and, not going, I just purely from the production standpoint, what do you guys think? You guys thought they've been doing a good job or not, or have you not even been paying attention? Love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Also, Alan Buckingham wrote an article on moving from Windows Media Center to Linux Media Center, and I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. And so this is a pretty good article here, and it talks about him making the move and what it would, or contemplating making the move and what it would take, and pretty good intense, good article here. So for those of you that are Linux fans, you're going to definitely want to check this out. The article that he spent some time and it's got some very good details in here and talking about the type of computer you could use and everything else. So I'll have that up in the show notes. Moving on to the next topic. Every time I go on Twitter or if I go to Google Plus, and I'm starting to see companies now, especially like Fox, CNN, all the major brands, Wall Street Journal, they're all now, all of them have their own Twitter accounts. They all have Google Plus business pages and so forth. And when I go through their list of stuff and read it, it's very obvious that, they're just promoting all their stuff. So there was an accompanying article on GigaOm that came up that talks about media companies and Twitter are still mostly doing it wrong. And here's something that's pretty remarkable. Now, I link to a lot of stuff from my Twitter account to my page, but I also link to other stuff on the web as well. So 93% of tweets link to their own site. And this is basically companies like TV stations, universities, a variety of mainstream media news sources. So this was done on a pretty big scale. But again, 93% of those particular types of sites tweeted the link to their own site. There was only 1% that tweets that linked to other news sites. There was 1% that linked to other non-news sites. And then there was 6% that did not, 6% of links, 6% of tweets, excuse me, that did not contain any link whatsoever. It was just kind of a comment. And it looks pretty obvious here that most of these companies have simply plugged their RSS feed or other automated process into their branded Twitter account. So something goes up, boom, it automatically gets tweeted. I've resisted doing, if it's by default on Geek News Central, it's turned off. So the writer actually has to go down and actually physically say, okay, yeah, this is a good article, I want to tweet it, has to turn that on in WordPress for each post. And that's why not every post on from Geek News Central makes it into our my Twitter account. But, you know, we do a lot of different outbound links as well. But very interesting on this dynamic. Now, here's something that is really even more astonishing. If you look at Twitter as a reporting tool, the percentage of tweets studied that were information gathering in nature, so in other words, they're asking for information and linking to places where you could submit stuff, 21%. Fox did this 21% of the time. The Arizona Republic, USA Today did 4%. The Huffington Post, Washington Post did 3%. MSNBC, ABC, CNN, NPR, New York Times all did it about 1% of the time. So they weren't asking for a lot of feedback. Fox was the biggest one asking for feedback, which was kind of interesting from that standpoint as well, looking for input from their listeners. So I have this link up to this article on GigaOM for you to review in full on yourself. But not surprising that they're not doing a lot of other stuff outside of tweeting their own stuff. Over at ReadWrite Web, they have a write-up about a new website called Gimme Bar. Yeah, G-I-M-M-E-B-A-R. And the website is G-I-M-M-E-B-A-R.com. This is a site that's being rolled out this week. It's a pretty beautiful site. And it's pretty sexy when you go over and look at it. Let me actually see if I can load this for you here. Are they going to show me? They don't show me too much here. It's when you're in the user account is when it's pretty cool. They show you how to use it. So it's, you know, from that standpoint, it's kind of got a weird look. Let me go back and see if I can show you some other screenshots here of this site. But what it is, it's a bookmarking site where if you find stuff that you think's pretty cool, you can link to it. Let me go down here and see if I can. Yeah, here's basically what, let's see if I can blow this up. It's not going to blow up. Anyway, it basically all it does here is category stuff by information that you have found and by, you know, how you, either it's a snapshot or an entire web page, a small snippet, some audio or video. So basically it's a way for you to bookmark stuff and be able to go back and find it. And there's a lot of sites that compete with this, obviously, but I just like the visual part of it the best. I really do. I like the ability to, you know, that sometimes we queue on that real quick. And if I can, you know, just for example, today I put in my order for the gear that we're going to rent for CES because I'm just about in all the gear, but I don't have quite all of it for, you know, I have to rent a couple of cameras and some other stuff. But I couldn't remember the name of the site that we rented from. And I knew it was Lens something, and I was doing lens rentals. And it turned out that it was lensrental.com. But I knew exactly what the site looked like. So if I'd had one of these type of, and it took me a little while to kind of figure out, I knew it was Lens something, and but it was end up finding it. But long story short, if I'd had this new service with this new company, I may have been able to, and this is one of those things that I had buried in a bookmark somewhere, but just couldn't easily pull it out of the stack. And so it's all about speed and finding stuff. And certain sites we use as reference. There's a site that I use as a reference every year to guys to, you know, on encoding tips and tricks and that type of stuff. That it's a, you know, good reference article to go and read. But anyway, gimmebar.com looks like a pretty cool site that if you sign up and try it, let me know if you like the visual aspects of it as well. The folks over at F-Secure found a rare digitally signed malware, which is kind of odd. The F-Secure has discovered a malware that was signed with a valid code signing certificate stolen from a Malaysian government, actually the agricultural department within the Malaysian government. The even though the SSL certificate has expired already, and this particular SSL certificate had been reported as stolen, they were pretty shocked to have found this malware signed with this specific certificate, making people think, oh, maybe this is a safe thing to use, but obviously it wasn't. But I have that link up in the show notes. But it's nice that the F-Secure software now can really detect that. Hey, one thing I got asked was how I create my QR codes on Geek News Central. And this is a great site. It's called QRBlaster.com. And let me put it in here. It's really a simple site to use. QRBlaster.com. And really all you do is you choose if you want plain text, website URL, a telephone number. So let's just put in a telephone number. I'll go ahead in here and put the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And we're just going to go ahead and hit enter. And I'm going to want a layout. I can do a layout like this. I can actually... There's a variety of different things you can do here. I didn't really want to do that. But it'll create your code, and you can print them, or you can send them by email. So in other words, here's all the links down here at the bottom, which you can do with it. Send by QR code, generate high-res images. So let me try that again and put this in. And for those of you that are listening, oh, it actually asked me for some more information, your business name, contact name, some other stuff. But this is a site I've been using to build my QR codes with, and they've got a premium count as well. But if you're looking to get in this action, this is a great way to do it at QRBlaster.com. And kind of a fun way to experiment with stuff. Hey, I want to once again talk about Voyager 2. Voyager 2 has, NASA has done something interesting here. They have basically told the spacecraft to switch to a backup set of thrusters that control the roll of the spacecraft. Now, the primary thrusters are still good, and they've each done over 300,000 to get the aircraft in the right attitude and stuff. And what they've done here is by going to the backup thrusters, they're able to turn off the heaters for the fuel, the primary thrusters' fuel lines. What it's going to do is it's going to save them about 12 watts of power. And they're going to say this is makes up about 20% of the spacecraft's daily power usage. And what this is hoping to do is they want to be able to extend the life of the power plant beyond 2025. They feel that the Voyager spacecraft have enough power on board or enough left in its radioactive electrical generator to take them to 2025. But if they can save this percentage of power by turning these heaters off and going to the backup thrusters, which I guess don't need as much heat, that they're going to be able to extend the life. And, you know, little things like this here, they're tweaking this thing even at this point. But Voyager 2 is currently about 9 billion miles from Earth. And they feel that in order to reach the basically the end of our, where they need to go is at like 14 or 15 billion miles. So they're really, you know, they've got a long way to go. And the spacecraft is only moving about 328 million miles a year. That's, you know, only, but so anyway, they want to, you know, continue. The spacecraft to continue to run beyond 2025. So we'll see where this goes, but the spacecraft did respond and switched up to the backup ones, and they've done this on both spacecraft. So pretty exciting stuff. All right, moving on to the next topic here. If you've been watching on YouTube, they've been playing around with a lot of different stuff, and Google's been investing in education and science, and they've introduced 5 new channels dedicated to mathematics, astronomy, chemistry, and physics with some pretty spectacular demonstrations. And when I saw this article today, and basically linking up to all this stuff, this is good stuff for your kids. It's really good. And there's some stuff in there. I said, oh, I could learn something. So the with their $100 million investment, them in basically announcing 100 new channels, this is some of the stuff that they're introducing is actually some educational stuff. So this is fantastic. It really, really is. Hey, one thing I found on Google Plus today that really is not a tech article, but it's a fascinating story talking about China's ghost cities. I don't know if you've heard about this. I don't know how long this video has actually been out, but it's a Dateline, I believe it was out of Australia, a Dateline SBC or SBS, whoever did that. But they talk about these vast cities being built in China at a rate of 10 a year and how they're just empty. They're like ghost towns, and they're investing millions and millions of dollars, or maybe in billions of Chinese dollars, into probably US dollars, really, into building these ghost cities. And they say there's an estimated 64 million empty apartments in China. And if you buy a house or an apartment in China, you have to pay for it in 3 years. Credit system there. But anyway, this is a fascinating video. I haven't linked up in the show notes. Hey, if you're a Windows user, your computer will not reboot when you does a Windows update. How many of you woke up in the morning, came down to your computer, and that spreadsheet you're working on has been shut out because Windows rebooted? Well, Windows 8 is now going to wait until you get back to the computer and say, do you want to reboot this, or do you want to close out some of your stuff so that you don't end up wanting to toss the computer off the desk? So that's a big change in Windows version 8. It's a good Wall Street Journal article talking about how young workers like Facebook, Apple, and Google. And this is the top 3 companies that young folks want to work at. And they feel that investment firms are not so desirable. But there was about 6,700 early career professionals who basically said the top 3 companies that they wanted to work for were Google, Apple, and Facebook. So kind of an interesting dynamic here. But this is the second year that Universum has conducted the survey, and Google topped this early survey as well. And so this is the type of culture people want to work at. A lot of interesting things going on with millennials. I'm learning a lot about millennials. And if you are a business owner and you have a millennial working for you, it would do you some, in it, or if you're a manager, it would do you well to read up on millennials, because there is, for my age group, in that age group, there is quite the divide. But, you know, it's a good idea for you to study up on them. All right, Sprint has, this is a weird one. Sprint cuts unlimited bandwidth and then just today announced that they're going to be increasing data allotments for the mobile broadband plans. So Sprint will offer 6 gigs of data for $49.99 a month, up from 5 gigabits, and 12 gigabits for $79.99, up from 10 gigabits. They basically said that they plan to deliver about 20% more data for the same price than similar from Verizon and AT&T. They want to show that they're being remaining competitive in the marketplace. I'm going to tell you, they need to fix. I have had very bad luck with my Sprint eVideo on 3GS as of late. If I'm on 4G, I'm fine. But the 3GS, just, it's been sucking. It really has. All right, Russia, boy, you know, they've had a lot of bad luck here, at least recently with their space program. But a Soyuz rocket blasted off through heavy blizzard snowfall in Kazakhstan on Monday, and were able to safely get to orbit, and they're going to deliver 3 new astronauts to the International Space Station. So the Soyuz TMA-22 capsule is scheduled to dock on Wednesday in time to relieve the crew of 3 who have been there since June and due to return to Earth next week. So they're going to have a quick turnover. So we're going to have the International Space Station stay open and running. Hey, Wired.com has got this image of a desert in China, and everyone is like, what the heck is this? And they say, why is China building these gigantic structures in the middle of the desert? No one seems to know what they're doing here. They don't know if it's some sort of targeting or calibrating grid for Chinese spy satellites, QR code for aliens. Nobody really knows. But this is, yes, that is a satellite picture. And they're doing something weird down there in the middle of the desert. I'd love to, you know, this one here is going to, I'm sure we're going to hear more about this in the future. But here's, you know, here's some other stuff. Let me show you these other pictures. And there's some more here. And there's a second one. And that one kind of looks like a targeting grid. It looks like something's been blown up already there. And let me bring up the third one here. Here's another one. You know, I guess maybe that's going to be a new city in the middle of the desert. But definitely got grids out there. Thousands of lines intersecting in a titanic grid that is about 18 miles long. And here's another one, a round one with all kinds. Well, you can see aircraft in there. So maybe that kind of makes sense, I guess. Obviously, some sort of military use here. But here's the here's another one of those weird square grids. But no one seems to know what they've done there and how they've exactly done it. But kind of odd stuff in China. So some weird ball stuff that they found. All right, look at time. All right, we're doing good. So how many of you are Okies, live in Oklahoma? You guys had a little earthquake here, a little shake, rattle, and roll, 5.6 magnitude tremor. Well, scientists are saying, is this the cause of fracking? And for those of you that don't follow what's going on in the gas exploration business, fracking is a controversial practice of blasting underground rock fragments, formations with high pressure water and sand to extract natural gas. And they feel that this may have put stress on fault lines. So I'm sure scientists are going to have fun digging into this one a little more. All right, so moving on here. First Amendment expert Floyd Abrams admits the SOPA would censor protected speech, but thinks it's okay. It's just collateral damage. It's pretty amazing here. So you get this First Amendment lawyer has said that SOPA does not violate the First Amendment, but that it could censor protected speech. So what's the difference between protected speech and the First Amendment? I thought that was, we're allowed to say what we want. You may, you can, you know, there may be some consequences of saying what or anything you want to say. But he feels that, he goes on to say later that in his speech that that there could be some consequences here. So, you know, he can't have it one way or the other. And I have this link up in the show notes. It's an article over on Tech Dirt. They've been real heavy on its SOPA, and they've probably got the best coverage out there. And you're starting to see artists and stuff starting to step up and support the non-passing of this as well. But I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. A UK judge thinks the U.S. makes it too hard to get patents. Lower patentability bar to show how it is done. In a unanimous decision, the UK Supreme Court determined that U.S. utility doctrine creates an unduly high bar of patentability. And the reasoning, or the rather lack of it, is just as surprising, that thus, rather than requiring proof of specific, credible, and substantial utility at the time of the filing, the U court agreed that the HGS genetic sequencing code, and this was basically on a patent that they were ruling on, called Nuotrochin, was patentable even though there was no known use of the protein at the time the patent was filed. The patent did not reveal how the protein could be used to solve any particular problem, nor did it identify any disease or condition where it could be used to diagnose or treat. So basically, they lowered the bar on patents and making it easier for people to patent stuff And this is interesting. So judges here in the United States could also lower the U.S. patentability bar and undercut those presumptuous British lords. So we'll see what happens with this. But I think the patents should be at a pretty high standard. Other ones need just to go away. All right, here's a weird one. And parents, you know, just again, certain groups out there doing some interesting things. Technology freedom groups across the political spectrum have urged the Supreme Court on Monday to stop the FCC from enforcing decency standards. The libertarian-leaning Cato Institute, the Center for Democracy and Technology, the EFF, the left-leaning Public Knowledge and Tech Freedom lodged a friend of the court brief with the High Court in a case in which an appeals court has ruled the FCC's decency regulations are unconstitutional, vague, and produce a chilling effect on the First Amendment speech. So basically what they want is they want to be used, whatever speech people want to use on television, and basically make parents responsible for the regulation of what their kids watch. So, you know, I guess, what do you guys think? Do you think we should not have any decency standards? Do you think that there should not be, networks should be free to do whatever they want? I'd love to hear what you guys think on that. I don't know really where I sit on this one at this point. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, Windows Phone developers are starting to migrate to Windows Phone, largely because of the Nokia partnership. They're starting to come out with some more pretty sexy products. So we're starting to see more developers building for Windows Phone 7. So maybe they've got all their apps built for Android and iOS and need just to get that one under works as well. But this is good. They're starting to see some increase here in take up by developers. All right, last few articles here. Don't be hacking your school system to change your grades, especially if you're an undergraduate going to college. That could make for a very short time in academia and out on your butt because you tried to work the system to up your C to a B or whatever it was to increase your grade point. But FBI is investigating a Santa Clara student and AKA students on this potential hacking thing. So not a smart move by this individual, but turns out he's the guy that did it. All right, Carbonite has added more features and more price tiers for home users. And so they've added a bunch of features. So those of you that picked up a Carbonite account when they sponsored here the show earlier this year, you're going to want to definitely look at the new features that are available. There's going to be some, you're still going to have the basic service that uploads everything to the cloud. And you're now going to have unlimited storage. So continue to have unlimited storage. And you're going to be able to get local backup too if you want to add that for a little bit more money. So the two new tiers of service is the $99 Home Plus and the $149 Home Premium. Home Plus adds the ability to back up to an external hard drive attached to your PC, as well as create an image of your system to a local hard drive. Home Premium has those features plus a courier service. Home Premium also doesn't suffer the automatic video file exclusion of the two cheaper plans. The courier service means that a Carbonite will overnight a physical copy of your data to you for quick restore, which is pretty cool. So this is a great way to have offsite storage. Now remember, that's a single computer, okay? So I'm running Carbonite on this machine that's directly in front of me. It's been very effective. It just runs in the background. It just goes up. I master file everything here on this machine along with my Windows Home server. Plus, it gets everything up in the cloud. So, you know, I feel pretty confident. And I'll probably go ahead and upgrade to this $149 Home Premium plan because I like the ability to be able to call and say, send me a drive of my stuff now. And it's overnighted to me. I think that's pretty cool. And you also get your video uploaded because I create a lot of video. So I'd get my money's worth out of that one. Also, the new Intel's high-end Sandy Bridge E3960X is out for review. And this new Intel Core i7-3960X, which is unlocked, has a base clock speed of 3.3. It goes up to 3.9 gigahertz on its turbo mode. It has a 15 meg cache. Boy, oh boy, this is crazy. 6/12 core threads. Beautiful. This is a nice chip. And what is the price on this bad boy? Do they list it? Yeah, I don't see it, but it's just amazing what they're doing here with these new chips. And the Sandy Bridge stuff is exciting. It's smoking fast. It really, really is. And so this is really going to increase the speed on the mobile products in a big, big way. And again, this is designed for mobile products, not for your desktop per se. So we'll see where this goes with the for sale process. And also, yeah, you guys are, you know, most of you are out of the grilling season, but this is just too cool of a grill to not show you. My wife likes segmenting stuff when we cook. And this is the ultimate, this would be a great grill for tailgating. It really would. You can put anything on this thing. Your burgers, your bacon, your fries, your onion rings. It'll do all that. And it's got multiple heat controls, all for $250. And it feeds off the same propane tank. Yeah, very cool stuff here. So anyway, just a little gadget I found for you tonight. All right, let me go ahead and look at what we've got in email. Then we'll get everybody out of here at a decent time tonight. Okay. Got an email reminder from Jeffrey. He said, hey, Todd, here for the show. 40 years of the Intel 4004 processor. I guess this is on November 15th, 40 years ago, Intel announced the 4004 microprocessor in an advertisement. So if you want to check out, Jeffrey does a great job with this. This is the daily dayintechhistory.com. And he puts this, he updates the show every year, puts in new history stuff. But this is what he has available on his Day in Tech History at dayintechhistory.com. So definitely check that out. Thanks, Jeffrey, from that. Got an email here from Lamar. He says, hey, Todd, a buddy of mine and I were on vacation and decided to stop at a Best Buy. He wanted to price tablets. While in there, we saw the Galaxy Tab. Mind you, I'm an iPad owner. With the screen dark, I almost mistook it for an iPad. The screen display and the missing home button gave it away. However, I can see why Apple is having issues with Samsung. Got an email here from Ken. He says, hey, Todd, I found this 5-minute video quite good. This is Ron in Victoria sent me this. And what this is, it's a NASA time-lapse video of Earth. It's pretty amazing. And it melds the passing of time over various continents and time zones into quite a stunning impression of a planet that still enjoys life and beauty. So you can see them in Northern Lights as well. This is a pretty cool video. So I did watch it, and I think you guys will like the video. I'll have that link up in the listener links. Got an email here from Andrew. Of course, Andrew is a longtime listener of the shows out of New Jersey. Hope's all well. Here's an interesting and pretty sad story on Facebook passwords during a divorce. A couple has been ordered to swap their Facebook passwords in a divorce case. Oh, it's a good article over on ZDNet. I'll let you read it yourself. Just be careful what you're doing on your Facebook, folks. They could come back to haunt you. I like how the judges ordered them to swap their Facebook passwords. That should make for some interesting reading by both of them. All right, Kindle Fire review. ZDNet's got one out as well, talking about the Kindle Fire. And he says, and Andrew goes on, I was recently interviewed on WLOB radio on the topic of tips for taking better holiday photos. In case you'd like to share it, I've got this link up. It's on photopettips.com. I have the link up in the show notes from Andrew. So thanks for that. I appreciate it. Got an email here from Richard. He says, hey, Todd, a few weeks ago, you're asking about some show sponsors. One that I came across you may try would be Deep Freeze. It is made for a company that has a bunch of computers that you do not want messed up. So what it does, when the guest logs out of the machine, it reverts the machine back to its original state before the guest logged in. So that's kind of cool. We'll have to reach out to them. Thanks for that, Richard. Appreciate it. Got an email here from Kai. He says, in your last podcast, you mentioned that Netflix was being used on consoles Another, oh. We already read this on the last show, and we didn't get any inputs for Kai. You know, Kai, you know, I got to thinking about your issue after the last show, and it's got to be Flash. You got to have a Flash issue. Are you able to watch other videos from other sites? Are you able to come to Geek News Central and watch my video? If you can watch my video, you should be able to watch Netflix videos on your PC. Or you can try reloading the Silverlight plugin that it's complaining about. And sometimes it's just as easy to install over the top of it. But you may actually have to go into Windows Software Remove and actually remove Silverlight and then reinstall it. That might fix it. I hope that helps you out. Sorry we didn't get any other inputs from the show. All right, folks, I'm going to wrap this up at this point. Thanks for being here, of course. And thanks for hanging out with me for the last hour and 15 minutes or so. Hour and 10 minutes, actually, I guess. And as always, you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Show hotline is 619-342-7365. And of course, you can follow me at Twitter, again, at Geek News. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to thank you for hanging out with me. And those that are on the live stream, thanks as well. And we'll be back with you on Thursday for another live show with a Friday release of the show. Of course, every Monday night here, like clockwork, Monday with the Tuesday morning release. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.